This is Interpreting Wine host and founder Lawrence Francis welcoming you to a special series celebrating the beauty and diversity of Slovenian wine. These episodes, recorded in September 2019, let you virtually travel with me on a personal tour organized by Mojca from Enjoy Slovenia Travel and Wine. The episodes, to be released in the order in which they were recorded, will let the country unfold for you in the same way that it did for me. For more information about wine tourism in Slovenia, please visit enjoy-slovenia.com. Wines from the producers featured in the series can be ordered at fineslovenianwine.com. And finally, to be in with a chance of winning a case of wines from the series, do head to interpretingwine.com/fineslovenianwine. Today's episode of the Slovenia Travel and Wine Special features Martin Grozovin of the winery Gorilla. Setting out on our second full day of wine tasting, we left Sanctum in the Slovenian Styria and travelled west via Ljubljana to the Vipava Valley, one of the sub-regions of the Primorska wine region. Working on 15 hectares, Gorilla is one of the few certified biodynamic wineries in the country. We started at the site of their modern cellar, looking out to the home blocks. Before we explore three different vineyards and take a deep dive into the terroir, back at the winery, we took the same path that the grapes take, which uncovers the history and philosophy of the winery, before tasting through seven of their wines, which represent their three range of wines, the Gorilla Classic, the Gorilla Selection, and the Gorilla Extreme. Enjoy!
Welcome to Planina. We are now in the middle of Vipavska Dolina. Vipavska Dolina is one district of Primorska grape growing region. Slovenia has three big regions,
yeah. And each region has some districts. Primorska, it's the part which is close to the sea. The Mediterranean part has four grape growing districts. Brda, which on the Italian side are Collio, it's the thing we see here in this direction. Behind you can see the Alps, and in the left part already the Dolomites. So then the Vipavska Dolina take the name from the river Vipava, which is the river blows through the valley, and finished in Socha, which is also in Italian the border river between Slovenia and Italy. The Vipavska Dolina from here you can see it all. It starts up under the mountain Nanos. Here makes a turn, and then finished near Gorizia, where start Collio Goriška Brda. The valley in totally it's around 35 kilometers long, and as a grape surface here it's around 2000 hectares of vineyards, but the vineyards are quite spread. You can see it's not big density of vineyards. You have a lot of forest also. In the lower part of the valley you have a lot of fields of cereals, corns, also potatoes and such on. So also in history the good position for grapes was always on the mountains. Mm-hmm. And the more marginal, let's say, when more poor soil and such stuff. Mm-hmm. What is interesting for this region is this mountain, all these mountains. Nanos is 1,002 meters high, and from here during nights we have cold air coming down in the valley. Mm-hmm. From the river and also the south, where is karst, it's 40 kilometers over the karst, it's the sea. From there we have the marine influence. So it's a mixture. It's always a Mediterranean climate, but with cold winds from north. Also traditional cold wind here is called Buria. It can reach 220 kilometers per hour when it's the strongest in winters. And during day we have very hot climate. So this is an ideal mixture for having good balance also in grape as acidity and everything that follows, so for good maturation.
You've given a wonderful background to the region and kind of what's going on. Maybe give us a little
bring us a little closer to home and talk a little bit about, you know, what your varieties are, the area, and why is the winery here?
Mm-hmm. We are on the top of Planina. Planina, in Slovenia, the traduction is mountain, but the Planina, it's kind of highland in the middle of Vipavska Dolina region, and here it's home of our estate, Guerilla. We have 15 hectares of grapes, and we work all farming. Farming is biodynamic. Demeter also certificated the biodynamic approach. So we have here also the new cellar. Guerilla, since Zmago founded it, exists since 2002. But before, Zmago was also from a family which was always farmers. It was a mixed farm, so they had also us, anyone here around, first some cow, some animals, some fields, some vineyards, some fruits, and then by growing hereditated this family 2 hectares of vineyard, and from here he developed it slowly. We are still developing this, and now we have around 15 hectares of vineyard, which we work in a first. Since 2010 we were working in organic, and then we converted all the estate to biodynamic production. The vineyards, the variety we have planted are Zelen, Pinela and Rebula and Malvasia, about whites. Zelen and Pinela are 2 varieties that grows only in Vipavska Dolina region. They are very rare. For all producers it's around 60 hectares of these varieties. Rebula in Italy is known as Ribolla Gialla. It's more common. You can find it also in other parts like Collio, Italy. Also Malvasia. Malvasia, it's a big family of wines. The variety which grows here, it's called Malvasia Istrska. And about red, we have Barbera, which is also traditional from this region, and Merlot and some Cabernet Franc, which are, let's say, international. The micro locations of the our crew, let's say, we have 5 crew now. One, this here, we can see it under the cellar, in which has this shape of amphitheatrum. It's from it has a name which comes from Latin. It's called vine, from Roman vinum, and it's let's say the history tells us that somewhere in this, not exactly that part, but maybe lower upper in this kind of shape, was somewhere the first Roman vineyard in the history, because Ajdovščina was in Roman times also a city. It was called Castrum et Fluvium Frigidum, which means city above a cold river. So also we have a sparkling that has this name, it's called Castra. But in this crew is called Vine. And here we have Malvasia and San Barbera. And then we have 4 other crew, Gmainca, Preske, Pile and Zavrh. So that's about the land here and the vineyards. Now we can go to see the vineyards and the soil. Here we can just explain something about the soil, because here you can see it's a very nice structure. So the traditional soil from the region here, it's called flish or opoka, or in local dialect they call it sodan. It's a mixture of marine sediments, basically. It's marlstone, sandstone, and some also limestone. Where it's whiter, it's more calcareous base, so it's limestone. But in fact, it's different kind of marls, very teeny, teeny parts, marlstone and sandstone. And until the soil, it's underground, it's compact. It's compact. It's like a stone. But then with erosion, with water and when and cold temperatures, it's become more fragrant and breaks in smaller parts until it becomes like dust. And when you have these pieces, you have some reflection. These are minerals. This can be silicium or other minerals, which you see is like sun shining inside, like crystals. So what is let's say traditional for this soil, it's that the water goes quickly through, and it's quite dry. It's also very poor in terms of nutrients, so the roots of the plants and also of the vines go very deep, can reach up to 12 meters deep. So when, once a plant is old enough, when the roots go very deep, it's more, let's say, struggle less with where it's very dry period of weather, or it's, let's say, less reactive to quick changes in weather. So you have more constant quality of grape and better better quality at the end. This vineyard is called Gmeinze. It is a vineyard of Rebula, which is a particularity of this vineyard. A particularity of this vineyard is that come from a Massal selection. It's a young vineyard. It has around 8 years. You can see the Rebula, it's still on. We still didn't harvest it. This is Rebula, which we use for our top lines, like Extreme, the Ribolla Extreme Rebula, and line Amphora. So, beside, it's a young vineyard, has a particular story. First, it's that it's very steep. When this vineyard was planted, in Slovenia works that you must make a reservation for the plants. And we didn't know it if the vineyard will be finished in time. So when we were looking for plants to plant, all the, let's say, the cooperative who produced the plants didn't have a Rebula. And so we asked in Italy, and we find some Rebula, but the company told us that it's a Rebula which is made for one client, and that they cannot sell it to us, so we have to wait. So we waited 1 month, and then they said, okay, we can sell you this Rebula because the other client is not ready and he will not need it. And at the end, it's come out that this plant was made for Joško Grauner. So this is Massal selection of his wood, and then it's now here. So you can see it's very equal growing. The grapes are small, the bunch are very, let's say, equally divided. So maturation is perfect, and this is a local grape variety which will be harvested now, let's say, in 2 weeks. Also, when you try this variety, traditionality for the Rebula is that you have a lot of taste in the skin of the grape. You have the sweetness, but then when you eat, you feel the bitterness from the skins. You have a lot of tannins here. So this is the particularity why a lot of people do skin contact with this variety.
Everything that have to here by hand, but everywhere around it by hand. To
harvest, it's always by hand.
Yeah.
In all the, we have all terraces. The vineyards are all terraced. You can see the altitude is very high. Here we are around 300 meters above sea level. The top vineyards are 450, and the lowers around 250.
Where is the wine being sold, and where is it being
In around 18 countries.
Yeah.
Let's say 40% in 30 to 40% in Slovenia, and the rest is all around the world, from America, Canada. We are now approaching. It's little problems with bureaucracy. UK, so Scotland, England, in Europe, then a lot of countries from France, Italy, Austria, Germany, Belgium, Netherlands. We are starting something with Russia. Then Slovakia, Czechia, Czech Republic, Slovak Republic. Also, Israel, Japan. I don't know. A lot of countries.
I think that you probably got the 18 there. And just, you know, curious, what is a sort of feedback, I guess, that they're giving you? I mean, because obviously, you know, Slovenia is not a huge country. It doesn't have so much wine to put out there. It's interesting that it's in so many countries. You know, what are people sort of saying back to you, you know, in those markets?
Mostly the people start to get know Slovenia as a traditional grape growing region, as in Slovenia wine growing and wine making is present since Roman times or even older, but the fact is that was not known, or people outside didn't know about Slovenia as a wine country. It's a thing that is starting emerging now, but we are only 2 million inhabitants, and we produce enough wine for ourselves, so we must also sell it something outside. In Slovenia, some thousand of wine producers, so it's a lot of wine per capita.
Too much for Slovenia, then.
Slovenia, it's also import of wine present. We have a big import of, you know, all the top French producers, also from New World producers. So markets are in all countries more or less has same logics of working. You have the home or local wines plus the top brands from outside plus the, let's say, you have the cheap wine for the supermarket, the premium wine for restaurants. You have all ranges like everywhere now. Okay, so here we are in vineyards called Pile, and in here we have planted the variety Zelen. Zelen is a local grape variety from Vipavska Dolina region. It grows only in a small part of Vipavska Dolina. Total surface of this variety is around 60 hectares for all producers. The name Zelen means green, but has no connections with other variety that has the word green in the name, like Grunewaldliner, Verdecchio, Verdijo, and I don't know, Vino Verde, and all these wines with green in the name. So it's a non-aromatic variety. It has quite vigorous growth. The bunch, as you see, is quite big. And particularity of this wine is that it's always very gentle on flavors and also in the body with not high alcohols, and that is very vegetable on the nose, like more herbish, more than fruity. All the our vineyards are, you see, single Gio planted. The distance between the plants is 80 centimeters and between lines 2.20 meters. In all wines, we plant green cover. So in the middle, we plant a mixture of corn, cereals, plants, which then they are cut it in small pieces, and this is called like green manure, because these plants, when start to, let's say, melt here in the vineyards, they add also organic matter.
Quite, again, quite thin skin, no?
Yeah, the skin on Zelen, it's not like Rebula. It's thin, and it's very, very soft. It has kind of muscat taste, but it's a neutral variety. So maybe also this is one of the reasons that the Zelen was near extinction. It was like a variety. The Zelen was a variety that in 19th century was present and was the wine that was given to doctors, to priests when they come for a visit on Sundays. Was the Sunday wine, the wine which was small quantities produced, and then in the communistic times, after Second World War, was massive introduction in this region of international grape varieties, like Riesling, Sauvignon, because it was obligatory be member of cooperatives, social cooperatives. So big sellers was doing vinification, and wine growers was just wine growers, and they delivered the grape to the big cooperatives who did the vinification, massive vinification. So it was big pressure to have, let's say, each year same quality and same quantity. So this was a region of introducing, let's say, maybe more resistant or more problematic, easy to cultivate it, international variety like Chardonnay, Sauvignon. And so in 1980s, at the end, we had for all the producers less than 1 hectare of Zelen, for all producers. Let's like 0.8 was the total surface. And then was founded also a consortium for the protection of Zelen and such on. And so now we are slowly rebuilding this this varietal.
0.8 to 60 is
it's quite a big step. But still, when we export this wine, we are quite, let's say, one of the few producers then who did this. So when you come across a Zelen, when people in general say, oh, this is first time I heard about this variety, it's quite a normal procedure, as a lot of the Zelen is drinked in Slovenia or goes to some blends. And in the end, yeah, on the market, maybe reach per year, I don't know, 50,000 bottles for all producers of Zelen. So it's quite unique stuff. The vineyard, we have a lot of wild animals come for visiting. And this year you can see it was a lot of wild boars here. Mm. And they didn't damage the grapes, but they were looking for worms, because worms are... The wild boars are omnivorous, so they eat everything, and they like proteins, so they find it when they eat. And looking here, the soil is rich, it's not dead, so it have worms inside, mm-hmm, and lot of organisms, so they are looking, and this is like the desert for them, you know.
Do you know why they don't eat the grapes?
They will also, yeah, when they finish.
A little.
Yeah. First the protein.
First the proteins, dessert. And then the dessert. But
dessert,
yeah. Yeah, when they finished with the worms, they will go to the grape. But in that time, we will already had harvest. So that's the good part. So we take a walk to the other part to see the new vineyard. This is also Zelen otherwise. This is still vineyard Pile, and up there it's a Kruzavr, which is mostly red Kru. We have Barbera, Cabernet Franc, and some Malvasia there. But here in front of us, it's a new vineyard. Now we are still planting it and still making the soil work, making terraces and these activities. It's a very big part of land. It's almost 10 hectares. Mm-hmm. And we are still talking what will be the name, because the old people say two names. So we are still discovering which is the real name of this place, or it's Planince or Bizjakovo. So still finding the name, but the soil is already here. And also some grapes are already planted. This is Zelen. Okay. These lines of Zelen is long more than 480 meters, so half a kilometer long, mm-hmm, terraced, but very long. So working here will be very, challenging for not physical, but more psychical way, you know. So there, where is the stone parts, mm-hmm, it's the spring inside, so it will be, we collect this water to make kind of lake, and that is important for biodiversity. So you have the aquatic flora and fauna, mm-hmm, also, mm-hmm, present, which makes the help you to make a complete circle in a, let's say, an organic niche. So you have not only the terrestrial, also the aquatic, which means small, let's say, from this
tadpole,
yeah. And then comes the birds,
yeah,
and
yeah.
All the life, sure, it's sure, complete, sure, because, you know,
yeah, making an eco, yeah, an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool, yeah. Yeah. Total is 15?
15 of the existing vineyard,
mm-hmm,
and this four or five. It will be the additional part of the vineyard.
Stopped.
Yeah. So total will be 20, but still now it's 15.
Yeah.
So level -1, and it's mostly used for fermentations. So crushed grapes come here, and then depending on the line of the wine, it stay a certain amount of time with the skins for skin contact fermentation. So for fresh whites, the fermentation with the skins or maceration with the skin is up to 2-3 days. And then the wine is pressed and spontaneously fermented in steel inox, and also some aging after in concrete. For selection lines, talking about whites, we stay up to 10 days of skin contact fermentation, and then the wine are pressed and aged in big barrels. The barrels are one floor lower. And for the line extreme, where we do long skin contact, it means 45 days for a Rebula or for amphora, even 6 months. The maceration are done also in these amphoras for amphora wine. So 6 months with the skin in amphora, then it's pressed, and the wines are returned for another year and a half in the amphoras. Then another particularity of this cellar is that you can see these windows back. These windows have more two or three, let's say, functionality. One is that they bring humidity, but the important stuff is also that they help the total place not to be like a cage closed, but that radiation from which we emanate, like wine, person, everyone, electricity, can disperse in the earth outside. So it's not like a closed cage.
Yeah.
So we avoid and also try that the wines feels good in the cellar, you know. In this part we also have the concrete tulips. These are made from raw concrete. So we have it recently, so we have it around 1 year. They came in December, and they are used for many procedures in winemaking. One is fermentation with the skin, since on the top it's opens, so you can have pigeage from top. Mm-hmm. And also the particularity is the shape, so it helps to making batonnage, steering the leaves by themselves with the moon cycles. And the other very important things, it's the aging wine here, because this concrete, it's not like steel inox, it has micro-oxidation.
Yeah.
So wines ages quicker than in big barrels. And that's also very important thing. So yeah, that's mostly all. Now we're using them for some aging of Zelen and Pinela before bottling, and also decanting in this concrete tanks. It's faster, so wine becomes without filtration, come out cleaner than from concrete. This comes from Italy. The producer is Nico Velo. On the top, in this one, you can see we have fermentation inside. Let's go on. So this is the cellar for fermentation and also aging of the fresh whites. So the Guerilla Classic from here goes to bottling one floor lower. Also, yeah. Here also the fermentation of the sparkling until the bottle is here. So all fermentation spontaneous for all the lines of wine. All wines make spontaneous malolactic, and all wines are unfined and unfiltered. The only thing which is added to the wines is minimal quantity of sulfur before bottling. And also this is written on each label, how much is the total amount of sulfur present in the bottle.
Can you say something about the journey to that point? Because that's
obviously, yeah, it's long.
You know, it's relatively
yeah. It seems easy.
No,
seems,
it's just,
it seems fast, but it takes a lot of years.
Yeah.
Let's say it depends where we start. Let's say when was Smago making wine with his father, all wines was made in this way, because was no other way. But this is maybe 50, 60 years ago, 50, fair 40. Then was introduction of modern enology with pneumatic presses, because of no skin contact. Using pneumatic press was also invention of selected yeast, enzymatics, everything. For modern enology. Also, together with this activity and that period was also a big introduction of such, let's say, aggressive treatments for the vineyards. So you bring sterile grape to the cellar, and then with selected yeast you can program how you would like to have a wine. It's like making a cake. You use this selected yeast, you use this temperature, follow this recipe, and you get such resultat at the end. So since 2008, 2010, we were also working with classic fermentation in the old cellar, with also support of an analog, but I always said that I didn't like those wines, because for me was not reflecting the territory, was too, let's say, messageless. They didn't talk by themselves.
Yeah.
And so we started together with Mago to go a little deeper to discover what means biodynamic, what means going back. And Zmago decided to go fully in this. And in 2010, we also practiced already spontaneous fermentation. The first was attempts. We were a little shy and, let's say, scared. What will be, how will change the taste of the wine, because the taste of the wine changes. You cannot say that the wine will not change. The wine always changes, but in better. But you, at the same time, you lose part of the customer which are used to drink the former wines, which are more fresh, let's say, more different smells, they more aggressive smells. They are more, let's say, wines for mass people. But then, at the same time, you develop your wines, your taste. You get new customers which are more for this style of wines. Mm-hmm. So in 2011 to 2012, we already had spontaneous fermentation for all the wines. And now coming here in the new cellars, since vintage 2016, we go even more radical in this, because we want to have this cellar infected only by native yeast. Mm. And that's important, that you never had a selected yeast present inside here, because also me, you, we always transport yeasts on the skin, the microorganisms. We are microorganisms, you know. So we must live in synergy with them. Here is the cellar for aging. We come down also by gravity. As you can see here, we have the big barrels and barriques. Barriques, we are now slowly putting them apart, and we are moving to big barrels, working mostly with big barrels. So, because tradition in Vipavska Dolina, also in old times, was always the use of big barrels. That's many ways why big barrels. First, our is that we don't like the taste of the oak in the wine, or taste of the barrel. We would like to have the genuine taste of the grape, which can be aged in a barrel to reach a potential, but not to cover it with flavors of the barrel. And that's the reason we use big barrels. It's mostly Slovenian oak, also some acacia and some Slavonian oak. We still have some barrels, small, like barriques, mostly used. And we have them because you sometimes have an amount of wine which cannot be for enough to fill a big barrel, so you put it in a small one. Also the cellar here, here are some old labels from old vintages, like a library. And here, also here you have these cages, which are windows in the soil, but here it's also a cave. It is a cave we digged for having humidity, to have less angel share. This imparts humidity to the cellar, and also good moisture and temperature. It's 22 meters long.
Opens out into the into the hillside, is it?
Yeah. It's 22 meters long, and here we are 12 meter under the surface. So.
Yeah,
and this you can see, this is flesh, it's our soil.
That's it totally makes sense when you know the soil composition. It's got that openness of the grain. That openness. It feels so fresh down there. This is brilliant. I've never come across this, I don't think, in any other wineries, where they're integrating fresh air so deep down. You know, there's no natural light coming in, but there's lots of natural air,
Okay, now we go up to try the wines.
White paper with the flashing label, this green, means Guerilla Classic. These are the line of wines which is fermented in steel inox tank. The maceration with the skin is shorter, and also they are meant to be drinked in up to 5 years. Fresh, simple wines for every day. Then we have the selection line with the black label, black logo, and the darker label, not very dark, darker, a little darker. The selection line has the retro red Rebula selection, and the varietal like Barbera selection and Cabernet Franc selection. These are wines which are macerated with the skins for longer, and fermentation and aging is done in big barrels traditionally, and they go out in 1 or 2 years after harvest. So wine for longer aging, more, let's say, full-bodied, more harmonic, elegant wines, which can be long-aged. And then we have the third line, Guerrilla Extreme, which we make only in exceptional vintages. So Rebula, Rebula Amphora, and Barbera, which is also in Amphora. So we make them with long skin contact, with long maceration, also in Amphoras or big barrels, and these are really particular wines.
For this part, I think we'll do it like this, because then we can...
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I can
you,
hold this for
you. You hold it? Or yeah. Same. If I pour, I cannot
exactly,
hold.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So
you pour.
Yeah, we start with Castra, Brut Natur. Castra, it's our classic sparkling vintage, now 2016. Castra, the name, it's connected with the Ajdovščina. Ajdovščina in Roman times, as a city, was called Castrum et Fluvium Frigidum. So that's the reason of the name Castra. What is it? It's a blend of three local grape, Pinela, Zeeland, and Rebula, which are autochthon local grapes from Vipavska Dolina region. We pick them a little earlier than the normal harvest, because for the sparkling wines you need to keep higher acidity and not too high sugar level. So because the wines undertake two fermentation. The first fermentation is spontaneous with spontaneous lees, and malolactic also is done on the base wine. Then in finish of spring, let's say around May or June, we go for a second fermentation in bottle, and we do this with the help of frozen must. So we, at the time of fermentation, we bring some must and put it in a kind of inox tanks, let's say, like for the beer, and deliver it here in down in the village. We have a factory of ice cream who froze this for us, and then we return this must, defroze it, and add it instead of adding selecting yeast for second fermentation. Then this second fermentation, it's in the bottle, like for Champenois style. And disgorgement is done after 1 year and a half or 2 years. It depends. Always the beginning, we disgorge pellet by hand. So it means that the first series of the wine are the one which are short, little shorter on the lees than the last. So from 2 years, this, for example, was bottled in June 2017. And disgorged was also in May or June 2019. So it means 24 months with the lees. And at disgorgement, we don't add any sulfur. It's just the sulfur from the base wine. So low sulfur. And also we don't do any liqueur at disgorgement. So it's Brut Natur. It's just filled with the base wine. That's all. Castra is name of the blend. The variety is Zeeland, Pinela, and Rebula.
Just a quick question, really, just about, it's a single vintage. Do you ever do any sort of blending across vintages, or only?
No, we always do single vintage wines, because we like to express the characteristic of the vintage in the wine. Also, here we are not like in Champagne that we can have reserve wine or something. So we always do a single vintage wines.
Absolutely love that. I think it's got a, you know, very sort of, almost like the acidity is there, you know, the freshness is there. And I think this is one of those maybe slightly deceptive sparklers, you know, you maybe, it's as you say, it's just of the year, you're kind of just expressing what happened in the year, but it was obviously a decent year. It's tasting good. It's got a nice length, nice complexity, not overly sweet, and you know, I think nice pressure as well. It's not sort of overly fizzy, and maybe that the lees time that it's enjoyed there is just, you know, just let those grapes and let that wine sort of integrate, and you know, it's a really harmonious blend, I would say. So yeah, but really unique. I've not come across that blend before. I think it's unique to the region.
So first white still, so it's Zelen vintage 2018. Zelen, as I told you before, in the vineyard, it's a particular local grape variety. This wine was also made with some skin contact. It means 2 days with the skin and fermentation and malolactic in steel inox, and also some concrete aging before bottling, just to decant. You can see it it's a pale yellow with some green hues. You can see that it's not completely clear also in color, and taste and the smell of Zelen is always particular, which reminds more the Mediterranean herbs than more than the fruit, and that's characteristic. And the nose and the palate is always very gentle. So we pair this normally in Slovenia with some raw fishes or very, very simply prepared fruit with based on vegetables or some white meat, which is always very delicate.
So then we move on.
Yeah, no problem. This is Pinela. Pinela is also a local grape variety, always from Vipavska Dolina region. Again, this is one variety also that in history was present on bigger surface than now. In 18th, 19th century was some presence of this grape also in Friuli, but then disappeared and now exists only in Vipavska Dolina. Also for Pinela, the total surface is between 55 and 60 hectares. Again, one very rare wine variety. So, vintage 2018 also here. Vinification is same as for the Zelen. It means some skin contact, just a few days. Fermentation, malolactic aging, everything in steel inox with also some concrete here. And the particularity of Pinela by itself is that it has higher acidity than Zelen. So wine normally are a little with more fresher character. The nose goes more in fruity directions. And the wine has little stronger structure than Zelen normally, because the amount of sugar in the grapes with Pinela can be higher than the Zelen. But in the vintage 2018, we had an exceptional Zelen, because the 18 vintages was really warm and perfect with amount quantity of rain divided in the just right period of the year. So Pinela, we drink it as everyday wine or with some pasta or with this, warm entrees, risotto, pasta and all this stuff. But also you can drink it just for pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we go to Malvasia. Malvasia, it's a white family of varieties, because Malvasia come from Mediterranean, and you have a lot of around 30 different Malvasia in Mediterranean. So from red to white varieties, the Malvasia that grows in Vipavska Dolina, it's same that you can find in Friuli, Kolio or Istria. So it's called Istarska Malvasia. It's a semi-aromatic variety, so it means here you will feel more the power of the grape itself. The Malvasia as a variety gets ripe quite quickly. So also here, the winemaking, it's same as Zelen and Pinela. Skin contact, short, fermentation, inox, malolactic bottle, no filtration, no fining, as for all wines. So in the Malvasia, you will have a stronger body, stronger, powerful wine, more than Zelen and Pinela. And the aromatic profile goes more from flower to some yellow fruits. And on the full body taste, also full taste with some, it's traditional also for the Malvasia, some bitter finish, kind of almond finish. And also this we pair normally with the starters, cheeses. It depends a little by the style, but this can be also with some fish in baked in the oven with some sauces and things like this.
I love the descriptions. I think you've nailed it in terms of the development there. So, for the specifics and the There's kind of aromas and tastes. You know, there's not really too much to add, but I just think they really kind of, you know, they do. They almost seem like they're related, I guess, you know, in terms of the geography, but also in terms of the winemaking. These are often my sort of favorite types of wines, you know, when you were saying before about, okay, you can think about the pairing, you can equally have it by itself. And, you know, it's, I think, you know, me personally, and I know I hear a lot of people saying they don't necessarily want to, when they go out to a restaurant, they don't necessarily want to change a wine every 5 minutes, you know, and have a different one each time. Sometimes you want to just, you know, be with the person that you're with and have a wine to carry you through a couple of plates. And, you know, these, they feel really versatile. And, you know, I think they've got that, certainly that acidity and cleanness going through them. And certainly, you know, potentially the Pinella or the Zella, and, you know, you could sort of have it as an aperitif, but then that could, you know, certainly sort of carry you through into the start of your meal as well. All really quite versatile and, yeah, real sort of family of wines there. Really nice.
Next wine from Selection Line, it's called Retro. This is not the name of a grape. This is the name of the blend, but behind this name and this blend is a little of story, because Retro is like also in your language something old but not old fashioned. It is our approach to do the wine of Vipava Valley, traditional wine of the farmer, because for knowing this we must go a little back in time to understand how was living here. So in old times the farmer here had mixed vineyards, mixed farm also with some cows, some animals, and the vineyards was not the only thing that they had. And the vineyard was not monovarietal, because they didn't buy the grape, the plants, so by itself, but they get it like grafted from some friends, or they get some plants here, some other there, and at the end then when they collect it, they had a mixture of vineyard, but they made harvest on one day, not each variety separately. So and the wine was always fermented with the skin and aged in this barrel. So here we do again the history, let's say the story of this wine. This wine was called Vipavec because it was wine from Vipava Valley. And now we do the same. We have one crew where it's planted different plateaus with different varieties. So here we have Zelen, Pinella, Rebula and Malvasia, which are harvested on the same day. Grapes are fermented with the skin for 1 week, and aging, it's in big barrel. It's 1 year and a half in 220 hectoliters barrels, and so fermentation, lacting, everything in barrel, and then it's bottled directly from the barrel. That's all. So that's in Austria, they call it like a Gemischtersatz. It means full blend. That's all. The characteristic of the wine here, you don't have any more, let's say, the really varietal characteristic, but you feel the place, the territory, the sense of place with all these varieties.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. It's just, I'm guessing the time in the barrel has just, you know, brought all of these together, so that, you know, there aren't sort of, you know, sometimes you get the sort of rough edges between some of the grapes kind of competing with each other perhaps, and but it's lovely. I mean, it's feels, you know, all, as I say, all brought together, but then it's just got this amazing sort of vitality and spice on the finish that I'm still, I've, you know, I probably tried this 30 seconds ago and I can still feel it and taste it all on the inside of my mouth. So yeah, this feels like a bit of a step up, I would say, in terms of the complexity. And then maybe this is one that where, yeah, I think it's maybe potentially, yeah, we're later into the meal, and this is calling for something a little bit on the food side of things, a little bit more powerful to go with it. Gorgeous.
Okay, we move now to the line Extreme. The label is darker. So this is 100% Rebula, vintage 2016 from the vineyard Gmeinze. That's the vineyard there before you have been eating the Rebula. You feel before in the grape the bitterness in the skin. And this is also the reason why for skin contact wines we choose a Rebula, because a Rebula has this particularity of this lot of taste and tannins in the skin. So with Rebula you can express it the best with skin contact. So this is from 2016, 45 days with the skins. You can see it's an amber wine already, the color. Aging was for 2 years in 1,000 liter barrel, and that's all. It's a kind of wine you can drink when you don't want to drink red, but you would like it. So you drink macerated white. So, one red. This is Amphora Red. It's also from Line Extreme. And it's also vintage 2016. The variety here, it's Barbera. Barbera, it's traditional variety from Piemonte. It's an Italian variety. And the only appellation in Slovenia where planting and cultivating Barbera in Slovenia is possible and allowed, it's Vipavska Dolina region. Barbera was introduced quite many years ago. So it's has a status now that we call it traditional in this region, which is not for Merlot or other varieties. So about red and traditionality in Vipavska Dolina, we have Barbera from vintage 16, which was also a very warm vintage. We macerated the Barbera from very late harvest with the skins in the amphoras. We kept it for 6 months with the skin. Then we press it, and the wine was returned back in amphora for 2 years more. So you will now try it. It's very concentrated. You have this very deep red black fruit, some underground, this forest underground, some complexity which is very very present. And the characteristic on the palate of Barbera, it's always the high acidity and concentration. So this is Barbera, let's say, will pair very good with some wild boars and the animals we were talking before.
Yeah, amazing to finish up here. I think it's great to have some reds and to try the extreme end of things. And a completely different type of wine here again, gorgeous to look at, as you say. I guess the concentration and the vintage is showing up here in that kind of lovely ruby, such deep ruby color. You can't see through this wine, I think it's just as well again a testament to what happens here in terms of the winemaking, because Barbera can, I guess, even sometimes in its youth, can be sort of overly tart. It can be kind of quite aggressive at times, I think. But this is, again, those edges have fallen off this, I think, very nicely. It's integrated. It's just lovely, harmonious. It does call for food. And, let's go and find a boar around here and do some pairing. Yeah, it's really, really good. Really, really, vibrant. But, definitely, to more the serious end of the line of the wines that you've served today.
Thank you so much, Martin. It was an absolute pleasure to tour the site with you. And I would highly recommend a visit to Gorilla once you are able to visit again. Truly one of the pioneers of biodynamic winemaking in Slovenia. For more information about wine tourism in Slovenia, do please visit enjoy/slovenia.com. To order wines from the series, do be sure to visit findslovenianwine.com. And you can also email Mojca any questions you might have at info@enjoy/slovenia.com. And if you're not already, I would love to have you following along with me on social media, where I'm at Interpreting Wine on Instagram and Facebook, at Wine Podcast on Twitter, and email hello@interpretingwine.com. See you next time.